This is the sound of a child with laryngotracheobronchitis. In stridor or croup, it is always important to exclude diphtheria or an inhaled foreign body.
Tomorrow morning, would you do something that you've never done before? As you pass by the first schoolyard in your neighborhood, would you stop, please, and count out 25 children on the playground? Any 25 you wish. Just be sure to count your own among them. Having done that, you may then say to yourself, out of these 25 children,
2 will be in a hospital for the insane before his or her life is finished. 4 more will be profoundly neurotic. 4 more deeply neurotic. 4 more mildly neurotic. And approximately 8 to 10 will be fairly normal. You see, your chances aren't too hot, are they? Well, now that depends. That depends on the kind of adjustments that you learn to make and that you teach your children to make. We're not born with our adjustments. We learn them. Here, let me give you a case.
Here's a case of a woman whom you all know. I'll give you her name. This woman was in love, deeply in love, but her sweetheart jilted her, so she committed suicide. Her name? Lupi Velez. Remember? Carol Landis, remember?
Lupi Velez and Carol Landis were two movie stars who had fame, fortune, youth, beauty, things that a woman would give half a life to have. Yet when they lost their sweethearts, Lupi left a note. Dear Harold, there's nothing left for me anymore, so goodbye to you. I wish she had phoned me first.
I'd have given her some good ideas.
Now, I don't have to go back as far as Lupi Velez or Carol Landis. For those whose memories it doesn't jog, I'll go back just a few months to Brigitte Bardot, who also attempted suicide. Did you know that Brigitte Bardot and Lupi Velez and Carol Landis were all insane
when they committed suicide or attempted suicide? Only the insane choose to die. A sane person wants
to live. I am not speaking of those who commit suicide regularly. Now, of course, not every woman who loses a sweetheart kills herself. One woman says, why should I kill myself? I'll shoot him. Suicide regularly. And so she commits murder as a form of adjustment. Now, of course,
which,
not
by
every
the way,
adjusts him pretty permanently, too.
Kills
there are some people who turn to liquor to wash away their troubles. Now, liquor will never wash away your troubles. It will only irrigate them a little bit. One man said to me, my father's a drunkard. He once read a sign, drink Canada dry. Well, I wish you'd explain it to this side here so we can go on. Probably the most fascinating year of my entire career was spent working on an alcoholic ward. I never saw these bits of human trash shoveled in the ward that a thought didn't go through my head. This piece of human garbage was once a mother's arm. This was once a little boy who played baseball on a schoolyard. Does it surprise you to learn that the alcoholic actually...
Thank you. Go on, go on. Go on, go on. Go on, ask me a question about a lamppost.
Do you like animals?
Yes, hopefully you can pet my hick.
Do you like animals? Do you like animals? Do you like animals?
I shall have to have him seen to. He's got a cross-eyed tail, you know. I shall have to have him seen to. He's got a cross-eyed tail, you know.
I surely want to thank you. And I surely want to thank you. Zaz, darling, we're in love, it appears. And I surely want to thank you.
what it is.
To England, the contract for putting up the lamppost went to India. Went to India.
Danione,
Creaking now, car going by, the wind, fire engine up the hill. I've disentangled myself from you, moved silently, groping in the dark for cigarettes. Now, three cigarettes later, still elated, still afraid, I sit across the room watching you. The light from the street lamp coming through the shutters. Hysterical patterns flash on the wall sometimes when a car goes by. Otherwise, there is no change. Not in the way you lie curled up. Not in the sounds that never come from you. Not in the discontent I feel. You fill completely this first November day with Sausalito and sign language. Canoe and coffee, ice cream and your wide eyes. Now unable to sleep because the day is finally going home. Because your sleep has locked me out. I watch you and wonder at you. I know your face by touch when it's dark. I know the profile of your sleeping face, the sound of you sleeping. Sometimes I think you were all sound, kicking free of covers and adjusting shutters, moving about in the bathroom, taking 20 minutes of our precious time. I know the hills and gullies of your body, the curves, the turns. I have total recall of you in Stanion Street, because I know it'll be important. It's quiet now. Only the clock, moving toward rejection tomorrow, breaks the stillness. There are golden apples to be picked, and green, green hills to climb. Run, matter, run, when you're young.
There are roaring rivers
to be cool.
Watch and Britons wild to sow as you grow. But later on the other shore of time, the
Good morning. Welcome to Wake Up and Listen. We'll be here until 3 a.m. And tonight, the Skid Row Revival. This is the second anniversary of Wake Up and Listen. And we started on a small community station in Sydney, where we had a bare minimum of technology available to us. And so tonight we'll be revisiting some of the methods that we used. Some relatively primitive, like a lovely cheesy Casio keyboard. So expect a relatively unsophisticated program tonight. Now to something completely different. As regular listeners would know, we record our program in order to make compilation tapes. Now, due to a technical error in the last program, we failed to record the first half hour. Now, I do know that some listeners do record the program, and if you're one of them, if you could help us out by providing us with a copy of last fortnight's program, we'd very much appreciate it. And if you can help us, please call us on 439-4777. On with the show.
Averaging over own shoelaces, 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 averaging averaging over own shoelaces is 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 averaging over own shoelaces.
Grew louder. My fear rose at the sound of someone creeping into the house. Then I saw it was a young artilleryman, weary, streaked with blood and dirt.
Anyone here?
Come in. Here, drink this.
Thank you.
What's happened?
They wiped us out.
Next day, the dawn was a brilliant fiery red, and I wandered through the weird and lurid landscape of another planet, for the vegetation which gives Mars its red appearance had taken root on Earth. As man had succumbed to the Martians, so our land now succumbed to the red weed.
Gassen i et svamp.
Hva skal jeg andre steder, så det ser ikke noget ud, for der kan være jo over et ord.
Så er den også ved at have den en helt sin opsætning af her. Så er du en særlig vis i det lav. Du er ikke kun løg med at tage sig, hvilken jeg færd over en ny. Og så var den her snasse til øret fald.
Long at what the world does to you. Most of all, can you laugh at yourself? Can you look in the mirror and say, oh, what a little show-off I am. But I'm cute. Laughter is the sunshine of the soul. Do you know what I think of as I stand here and look at you? I look to see who laughs and who doesn't. I think this one needs treatment badly, this one doesn't. Oh, don't worry, I picked out a few good cases here tonight, too. Mostly in this section, right in there.
Now, I hope that you never get so tired, so old, so hardened in the arteries, so prissy, so self-important, that you forget how to laugh easily and quickly. Because at that moment, whether you know it or not, you're dead. You know, whenever I get to feel just a little too important, I can't help thinking of a patient who stands on a ward in a mental hospital, very grand. The psychiatrist walked by one day and said, "Who do you think you are?" "I, sir, am Napoleon." "Really? Who told you you were Napoleon?" "God told me," when a voice came from the next bed. "I did not!"
Sighed Maisie, a lazy bird hatching an egg.
"I'm tired and I'm bored, and I've kinks in my leg from sitting, just sitting here day after day. It's work. How I hate it. I'd much rather play. I'd take a vacation, fly off for a rest, if I could only find someone to stay on my nest. If I could find someone, I'd fly away, free."
Then Horton the elephant passed by her tree.
"Hello,"
called the lazy bird, smiling her best.
"You've nothing to do, and I do need a rest. Would you like to sit on the egg in my nest?"
The elephant laughed.
"Why, of all silly things, I haven't feathers and I haven't wings. Me on your egg? Why, that doesn't make sense. Your egg is so small, ma'am, and I'm so immense."
"Tut, tut," answered Maisie. "I know you're not small, but I'm sure you can do it. No trouble at all. Just sit on it softly. You're gentle and kind. Come, be a good fellow. I know you won't mind."
"I can't,"
said the elephant.
"Please,"
begged the bird.
"I won't be gone long, sir. I give you my word. I'll hurry right back. Why, I'll never be missed."
"Very well," said the elephant. "Since you insist, you want a vacation, go fly off and take it. I'll sit on your egg, and I'll try not to break. I'll stay and be faithful. I mean what I say."
"Doo-doo-doo!"
sang out Maisie, and flung away.
"The first thing to do," murmured Horace, "the first thing to do is to prop up this tree and make it much stronger. That has been done before I got it. I must be done."
Tenderly, gently, he crept up the trunk to the nest where the little egg slept. Then Horton the elephant smiled.
"Now that.
And he sat. And he sat all that day, and he kept the egg warm. And he sat all that night through a terrible storm. It poured and it lightninged, it thundered, it rumbled.
"This isn't much fun,"
the poor elephant grumbled.
"I wish he'd come back, 'cause I'm cold and I'm wet. I hope that Maisie bird doesn't forget."
But Maisie by this time was far beyond reach, enjoying the sunshine way off in Palm Beach, and having such fun, such a wonderful rest, decided she'd never go back to her nest. So Horton kept sitting there day after day, and soon it was autumn, the leaves blew away, and then came the winter, the snow and the sleet, and icicles hung from his trunk.
Amongst buttercups at the edge of a pond. The water was all slippy, sloppy, and lard. And in the back passage. Mr. Jeremy liked it. He speaks quick. Nobody ever scolded. And he never caught a cold. He was quite pleased when he looked out and saw large drops.
Nobody ever scolded flashing.
And he never caught a cold.
I will get some work.
And go fishing.
Nobody ever scolded him. And he never caught a cold.
Wir haben sie in den Büschen gespeichert.
Schiffbrücken. In the back passage. Go fishing. And in the back passage.
Schiffbrücken.
In the back passage. Back passage. And go fishing.
In the back passage.
Catch a dish of back passage.
My did
in the back passage. In the back passage. In the back passage. In the back passage. 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 Mr. Jeremy liked some words. He went and go.
Nobody ever scolded.
And catch a dish of
never for my dinner.
His boat.
If I catch more than a little
himself cross the head,
I will
invite
his fishing
tackle.
Mr. Alderman and Alderman.
He had the dearest. His rod was a tough stalk of grass.
However,
line was a fine lock.
Mr. Jeremy put on a mutton top and a pair of shiny gloves.
Line was a fine lock.
He ran back and set off.
But he tried a little wriggling work
where he kept his boat. The boat was round,
trickled down,
and very like the other trees. It was tied to a water plant in the middle of the pond.
It's getting tiresome.
Mr. Jeremy took a reed pole and pushed the boat out into open water.
That's fine. I think I should like some Dutch, said Mr. Jeremy Fisher. Dutch, said Mr. Jeremy Fisher. He punted back again amongst the water. He punted back again amongst the water plants and took some luck to a water plant
in the middle of the pond. Mr. Jeremy took a reed pole and pushed the boat out into open water.
He punted back again amongst the water plants and took some luck out of his basket.
He had the dearest little red feet.
A butterfly sandwich. And wait for the shower.
Rough stalk of grass. She was lying with a fine long
pipe of water. Came up underneath the lid.
His rod was a tail. Tough stalk of grass.
The tail. Tail. Tail.
His rod was a tough stalk of grass. His rod was a tough stalk of grass. His rod was a tough stalk of grass.
The tail.
His rod was a tough stalk of grass. His rod was a tough stalk of grass. His rod was a tough stalk of grass. Lying with a fine long white
tail,
lying with a fine long white
tail,
and instead of a nice dish of minnows, they had a roasted grass with ladybird sauce.
Tail,
which was a beautiful
tail.
And I think it must have been now. The tale of two bad mice. Once upon a time, there was a very beautiful doll's house. It was red brick with white windows, and it had real muslin curtains, and a front door and a chimney. It belonged to two dolls called Lucinda and Jane. At least, it belonged to Lucinda, but she never ordered meals. Jane was the cook, but she never did any cooking because the dinner had been bought ready and baked in a box full of shavings.
There were two lobsters
and a ham, a fish, a pudding, and some pears and oranges.
They would not come off the plate.
Extremely beautiful. One morning, Lucinda and Jane had gone out for a drive in the doll's veranda.
There was no one in the nursery,
and it was very quiet.
There
was a little scuffing, scratching noise in the corner of the fire. There was a hole under the stair scuttle.
Tom Thumb
put out his head for a moment,
and then popped it in again.
Tom Thumb was a mouse. A minute afterwards, Hunca Munca, his wife, put her head out too.
When she saw that there was no one in the nest, she ventured out on the oil fire.
The doll's house stood at the other side of the fire. Tom Thumb and
Hunca Munca
went cautiously across the hearthrug.
Pushed the front door.
It
wasn't fast.
Tom Thumb and Hunca Munca
went upstairs.
Into the dining room.
The ham broke off the plate of the jerk and rolled under the table.
Let it alone, said Tom Thumb. Give me some fish, Hunca Munca.
Uncle Munker tried every tin spoon in turn. The fish was glued to the dish. Then Tom Thumb lost his temper. He put the ham in the middle of the floor and hit it with the tongs and with the shovel.
Bang, bang, smash, smash.
The ham was all to pieces. Underneath the shiny paint, it was made of nothing but glass. Then there was no end to the rage and disappointment of Tom Thumb and Hunk and Munker.
The tale of a tale that belonged to a little red squirrel, and his name was Nutkin.
He had a brother called Tinkerbell, and a great many cousins. They lived in a wood at the edge of a lake.
So that is the story of the two bad mice.
One bad mouse that made all
the Christmas
under the
half time.
So that is the story of the two bad mice.
But as to
one bad mouse that made all the Christmas. So that is the story of the two bad mice.
He ran inside, singing, "How many strawberries grow in this wood? As many red hens as throwing them all." But old Mr. Brandon, riddle me, 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 riddle
Piggling Bland.
Once upon a time,
there was an old pig called Aunt Pettit.
Whichever is this.
Grunted Aunt Pettitoes.
Now all the pig family are black spots, and this pig child was smutty black all over.
When it had been popped into a tub, it proved to be yop.
I went to the garden, there I found Spotchcock, and they drink bucketfuls of milk. I shall have to get another cow. Good little Spot will stay at home to do the housework, but the others must go.
FM.
Wake up and listen.
were all